you know,
but they
before
doing
I became lieutenant
then.
Governor. Yeah, they were. I mean, look. Tim
Scott's a U.S. senator. He said since he's been elected, in 1 year, he was stopped seven times.
By
police.
So what's that got to do with the Republican Party?
Well, and it has a lot to do with being racially profiled and not feeling safe.
What's that got to do with the Republican Party?
Well, Blue Lives Matter is the Republican Party theme, and
but that's not what Tim Scott said.
No, he said he felt he had been profiled and felt uncomfortable.
And again,
as
I
a black man,
what does that have to do with the Republican Party? Tim Scott is the Republican senator from South Carolina,
the most prominent and highest elected black Republican in the country.
Absolutely. And again, what does that have to do with the Republican Party? He was not stopped by the Republican Party. He was not pulled over by the Republican Party. So what does that have to do with the Republican Party?
Him being a Republican senator in his home state, being a prominent elected official, bought him nothing in the eyes of police.
That's because the police didn't know who he was.
They saw he was a black guy and said, that's all I need to know.
And again, I asked, what does that have to do with the Republican Party? And my point by making that point is you're conflating something that is wholly doesn't exist. Tim Scott was talking about his encounter with police, an anonymous encounter with police who do not know who he is. And all they see is a black man. They don't know his party affiliation. They don't know where he lives. All they see is a black man. That's the point he was making. When my son was pulled over a few weeks ago, he's an independent. What's that got to do with the independent party? Nothing. He got pulled over because he's a young black man driving a car at 1 o'clock in the morning. This is the problem. You cannot have a discussion honestly about these issues if you start conflating and moving politics in a way to score or make a political point. That has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do, with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Just as when I ran for the United States Senate, and I'm standing there after a debate I didn't even go back before that, when I ran as Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, and I'm standing there and someone rolls Oreo cookies at my feet, I'm in a house full of Democrats. Now, what does that say? Is that the Democrat Party?
So
my point is, when you get to race, take that out of it. Because it's going to blind you to the discussion we need to have about race in this country. This is about white folks and black folks. It's not about Republicans. It's not about Democrats. Let me finish my point. When you go there, then you excuse white Democrats. You excuse white Democrats who are just as nefarious in this art.
But there's a body of black Democrats.
One point. And, you know, we're going to be talking to Alicia Garza in a little bit. But Michael Steele... You mentioned something about conflating, and I think this is where maybe it's not fully articulated.
Right.
But when you have a vibrant movement, so we have somebody like Alicia Garza is getting ready to come on.
Mm-hmm.
Sister, who I know for a long time, is all about love, peace, and what have you, trying to bring people together. Yet, the reason why I felt unsafe, because people were all of a sudden associating a peaceful movement, peaceful people, with the killing of cops and using words like terrorism. And this is not, this is what I'm seeing.
Sure.
This is what I'm like, whoa.
Sure.
You know, I have like a Black Lives Matter thing
sure.
on my computer.
Sure.
People are asking me about that. They're not asking me about Oakland Raider thing.
But
the conflation.
Right.
Right. So we can go individual by individual, and we could, you know, some people will be off their rockers,
right.
Some people will understand. But when I see a whole crowd of people cheer, and I hear a speech by Rudy Giuliani, and I know what it was like under him, that becomes very frightening. And when you start to say from the floor that this group of people represents something that is really nefarious, to use your words, that can easily become policy, and when you don't see the pushback, that's when I become frightened.
And I understand. Please, don't take away from what I'm saying that I'm discounting your concern or your fear. I'm not. I totally understand it, and get it completely. What I'm trying to get us to is, let's not get stuck on the politics of it, because then we could spend our days going down a rabbit hole in which we don't have a conversation. We just walk away pissed. And so
is politics the same as policy?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not. Politics is not the same as politics, a policy. Politics can mess up some policy.
Okay, I get that.
But it's not the same thing. The policy usually ultimately stands on its own. But I do want to go to something that you're saying that I think is important. What I've expressed to people in my party and what I've expressed publicly when it comes to, for example, Black Lives Matter, is that what I know to be true is Black Lives Matter is not saying that only their lives matter.
Right.
That, or their lives matter, Black lives matter more than anybody else's life. What they're saying is, can you please understand why our lives matter? Can you please understand what we need to do about these lives? All
That's
right,
real
in the
talk.
Situation. Now, here's the problem. When, and this is where you get the comments from a Rudy Giuliani and others, when they hear at a Black Lives rally, what do we want, dead cops, when do we want them now, all right? That's a problem.
But I think that's the conflation.
That's not conflating. That's what they hear, all right? So they're reacting to what they hear, just as a whole lot of folks reacted to the Tea Party rallies when someone showed up saying something stupid or carrying a sign that was stupid. My view, there's no difference between the two. The result is the same. So as you had stood in fear when you saw someone carrying a swastika at a Tea Party banner or saying something ignorant at a Tea Party rally or just
recently. Or a GOP convention.
Fine.
Okay.
Then
you'll stipulate.
That's one thing. But understand what it's like on the other side, too. For the wife of a cop, the wife of a Black cop, all right? Understand what it's like for them when they hear that, the fear that they have when they're confronted with that. So what we need to do, which is what I think your guest is all about, is can we move into a space where we can appreciate what I first said about Black Lives Matter and understanding what its roots are about, and then begin to have the conversation we need to have on race.
Let me just bring in Alicia Garza. I know you had to get ready to go, and it just, Alicia, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Alicia, how are you? It's Michael Steele.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Alicia, Black Lives Matter has been a conversation in many circles during this Republican National Convention. And I wanted to...
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And I've expressed, as I was saying to Michael, that when I'm hearing the Blue Lives Matter, when I'm hearing a rhetoric that I can easily see shift into policy, in this case, Black Lives Matter being seen as a terrorist organization, you being a co-founder of this organization, how are you seeing it? How are the people that you work with, the chapters that you're dealing with, how are you seeing this, especially when, as Michael Steele was pointing out, there are people that are saying they go into rallies and they've heard people say some things and they're reacting to it. Your thoughts on that?
Sure. So let me be very, very clear. From the beginning, both in written documents, in interviews that we've done on nationally syndicated television, even in interviews with activists, we have been very, very clear that we have never, ever called for the killing of law enforcement. But yet this story, this narrative, this fable continues to be reproduced. And it reminds me a lot of some of the quote-unquote undercover videos that were taken at Planned Parenthood, right? Where there was a frenzy that was created around really what was a political agenda to discredit and ultimately defund the largest organization that provides health care and health care services to women who need it. I feel like we're in a very similar position. We are constantly being called to account for the unilateral actions of individuals, and yet the action that is taken on behalf of our government, on behalf of our policymakers, on behalf of our elected officials, moves much more quickly when there's a narrative that's being played out about Black criminality. But certainly, it's not moving very quickly when we're talking about the issue of Black people being murdered extrajudicially, it's not moving forward quickly when we're talking about policy that needs to address police acting as judge, jury, and executioner. So that is a huge contradiction that we're facing.
Let Michael Steele respond before the break, because we want you to stay with us, of course, but then we've got to take a break. He's got to go. You're listening to Pacifica Radio's broadcast of the Republican National Convention from Cleveland. Please respond.
Oh, great.
Stay with us, Ms. Garza.
Ms. Garza, I agree with what you just said. And that was very well put, that's the way this system rolls itself out, in a much more sophisticated way than I did, you made the argument that I was trying to make, which is why I tried to move these matters away from the political. I mean, I know this as a political guy. And I think that what you expressed about what this movement is trying to get the American people to understand culturally, politically, socially, was very well stated. And I do appreciate that. And it's, for me now, another way I can begin to express it within my own party, because there is a lack of understanding in terms of how that works.
Can that be translated into policy?
Sure, it can.
Black Lives Matter asks?
Absolutely can, because, and you know, I will say, one of the things I appreciate is someone like Senator Rand Paul and Senator Cory Booker sort of taking this bipartisan effort to begin to open up the doors on the criminal justice system and really begin to look down and see what the impact is on the particularly black men, young black men in the community.
Well, black women as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But I'm just saying, that's why I said in particular young black men. Right. But these are the steps we need to take. And I don't like the hot rhetoric on either side. And I'm hoping next week when we gather at the Democratic Convention, there won't be a lot of hot rhetoric. But my bet is there will be. And so what we've got to do, people in responsibility in media and in politics, begin to sort of shift this dialogue, which is why what your guest is saying here is so important, because that's the light that we're trying to find.
Michael Steele, we appreciate you taking time out to join us on the Pacifica National broadcast here at the RNC Republican National Convention here in Cleveland, Ohio. Alicia Garza is on the line. We appreciate her jumping in. We're going to take a break, come back and finish up our conversation with Alicia. So, Michael Steele.
Thank you.
Hopefully I see you in a club again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. So we're going to take a break and appreciate we'll be right
and,
back.
And well, let me just say, we are nearing the end of this hour's broadcast, and we will be back in the next hour. I do want to remind you, our trusted listeners, that we are operating here on a shoestring budget, and that's because, well, we come to you from a number of radio stations that also operate on an extremely tight budget, and that's okay because that's our model, and we rely on listener donations. It's what gives us our independence to have the type of conversation that we just had. So that's why I want to appeal to you. You're about to hear how you can make a contribution to your radio station. We need your help. We're a little bit behind, and we hope you'll do it.
You are listening to Pacifica Radio Network's live radio coverage of the 2016 Republican National Convention. Pacifica Network serves as a support system and distribution hub for hundreds of community and low-power radio stations across the country. We at Pacifica believe that democracy happens when everyone has access to the airwaves, not just the leaders in the convention halls, but the people on the street who have their own special knowledge of our society's strengths and needs. This is the promise of community radio.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Dear KBOO community, we need your input. For the last few months, KBOO has been involved in a collaborative process to develop a strategic plan to guide our work for the next 3 years. We would like you to take a minute to read over the goals we set and give us your feedback. Community input has been a big part of the process, and here's an opportunity to double check we have a solid plan. To take the short feedback survey, please go to kboo.fm and click on the banner at the top. Help envision the future of KABU. The survey is available until July 20th. Thank you for taking the time to give us your input and for being such an active member of KABU.
For these reasons and many more, your community radio station deserves your support. Stay in tune with your community. Stay tuned to your community radio station. We now return you to Pacifica Radio's live coverage of the Republican National Convention with hosts Mitch Jezerich and Askio Muhammad.
Republican National Convention, Pacifica's national broadcast. I'm Davey D, along with Mitch Jesuit, Askia Muhammad. Thank you for